The Marshalltown Fire Justice Campaign has welcomed the Usindizo Commission report, which found that the city of Joburg was responsible for the devastating fire that claimed 76 lives in August last year. Justice Sisi Kampepe delivered the first part of her report into the fire and told reporters that she wants the building to be demolished and added that the city must consider at an appropriate place to put a plaque in memory of the deceased and bearing the names of those who perished in the fire and whose identities would be established at the time when the recommendation is implemented. Joining us now on the line, Marshalltown Fire Justice Campaign's Nigel Branken. Nigel, a very good morning to you. Welcome.
Good morning. Nice to speak to you.
So in essence, what does the report say? Why is the city of Johannesburg responsible for this devastating fire that hit in August last year?
Yeah, so essentially what the report did, what the commission did was we listened. Well, the commission, first of all, had testimony from the city, and the city was kind of trying to say the people who were living in the building were to blame for the conditions in the building. Then we had counter testimony kind of coming forward in the commission of inquiry, and that testimony basically showed the negligence of the city and in particular of the Johannesburg Property Company. And how they had completely abandoned the building. Knowing the conditions in the building, it showed how they have a responsibility to maintain the building, to maintain fire safety in the building as an owner of the building, but how they had just left it to kind of deteriorate with a plan to eventually sell it to private investors. And that's what is happening with many buildings in the city. And so when the fire was started, you know, although they do acknowledge it was started by Mr. X, but when the fire was started, they put forward that, you know, the deaths would not have occurred at scale like this had it not been for the city of Joburg's complete neglect of its responsibility and obligations.
So one is finding the city responsible. Will there be consequences? Does the report talk on that?
So it makes recommendations. For example, it makes recommendations that Helen Boitis, the head of the Joburg Property Company, that she be disciplined. It makes recommendations for certain members of the city to be disciplined. We need to actually go further than that, and we need to see criminal prosecutions for this, what is essentially criminal neglect, you know. I think that it's interesting that one of the recommendations, of course, was to put a plaque up. For me, the real way to honor victims is to look at preventing this kind of tragedy from happening ever again in the city. And if we're going to do that, we're going to need a city that is more responsive to its constitutional obligations to provide adequate housing, to make sure that housing is safe, to ensure service delivery is happening in our city. Now, if you just have to drive through Joburg streets to see the potholes, the traffic lights that are not working. We know the challenges we have with electricity. All of these service deliveries are reflective of a government that is not concentrating on delivery of services to its most marginalized citizens.
Now, some city officials have hit back saying that natural justice was not served, legal courtesy was not afforded, they were not given an adequate opportunity to give their perspective before the commission concluded its findings.
Yeah, so remember, this is part one of the commission. There's also a second part of the commission, so I'm sure there will still be opportunities for them to come forward and talk about the general housing crisis. But there certainly was, the city of Johannesburg was represented at the commission. There was extensive questioning of people like Helen Boitis. All the various MMCs and political heads of the different departments came and gave evidence at the commission. So to say they weren't afforded the opportunity, I think, is a little bit of, the political maneuvering that we get used to in South Africa when politicians and government officials are trying to avoid accountability. Essentially, if you look at what the city continues to do, is it continues to scapegoat the poorest of the poor. So we have seen, you know, on the night that the fire occurred, on the morning that the fire occurred, the city officials were there outside saying, foreigners were living in this building, foreigners are to blame for the fire, foreigners started the fire. Of course, we know that that was all debunked as the commission went on. The majority of people living in the building were South Africans. And in fact, the fire was started by a South African. But what the city then used that to do by scapegoating was then to completely neglect its responsibility towards these fire victims. So we saw them moving people to Bears Valley to a shelter. They're not providing proper alternative adequate housing. They eventually arrested a whole lot of foreigners, and they moved a whole bunch of the just over 200 families to Denver, which is an industrial area. And, you know, the conditions there have been such that there's been regular flooding that's happened at that Denver center. I think there's been 10 floods that have happened since December because the city neglected to put in adequate drainage. So they continue to treat these people with contempt. You can imagine you've lost all your possessions in a fire, and now you've lost all your possessions 10 more times in floods. I mean, that's an absolute, I don't know how to express that, the horror of seeing these people who've gone through such tragedies and go through it again and again and again. Every time it rains, the water comes up in their little shacks that were built for 68,000 rand each. The water comes up to knee level. I mean, it's just bizarre and you can see they're evident in what alternatives have been provided, the evidence of corruption, the evidence of ongoing corruption. The shacks can't cost more than 3,500 rand each, and yet the city's continuing to spend 68,000 rand per shack. The city's budget is in the hundreds of millions for that particular temporary emergency accommodation, and despite it being in the hundreds of millions, they haven't even got water, they haven't got adequate sanitation, they haven't got drainage. They bought the property there, which is about the size of a soccer field, for 44 million rand. In that area, you could buy land there for that size of, less than a million, It's just corruption after corruption after corruption. So when city officials are now telling us, they had an opportunity. They're trying to get away from culpability, and they are clearly to blame. And we, as the citizens, as we come up to the elections, we need to hold these city officials accountable. But more than that, we've got to get involved as active citizens. We've got to make sure that we put an end to this ongoing corruption by the city.
Yeah. Nigel, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Cheers.
That was Nigel Branken. He is from the Marshalltown Fire Justice Campaign, talking to us about the Usundizo Commission report finding the city of Johannesburg responsible for the devastating fire that claimed 76 lives in August last.